All right, thank you very much. So let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and open, if you will, to the book of Jude in your Bible. The book of Jude, please, in your Bible tonight. The book of Jude, and that's right before the book of Revelation, so that ought to be pretty easy to find. The book of Jude in the Word of God. It's good to have all you other folks out tonight, back, I should say, and we're glad that you're here tonight. All of you are here tonight, and we just are rejoicing in already what God is doing. So praise the Lord. Let's take our Bible there, Jude, and verse number 9 plays in your Bible. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed the body of Moses and durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." The Lord rebuke thee. All right, let's look to the Lord, please. A word of prayer, please. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed as we look to the Lord. Father, thank you again for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, I pray you'll just use the Word of God tonight. Lord, do what needs to be done. Save that soul, Lord, that's here without Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Lord, that you would also work in the hearts of your people. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, great generals, and we've had a lot of great generals in our country. Great generals were great generals because they knew their enemy. General Robert Lee, General Grant, General Douglas MacArthur, General Patton. All these were great generals in our country's history, and they knew their enemy. That's what really made them great. Do you know tonight who your greatest enemy is? Do you know who it is? Well, I want you to know, parents, you know what? It's not your children, all right? And children, it's not your parents, you know? And people, it's not your pastor, all right? Listen, the greatest enemy that all of us have, and we all have this greatest enemy, it's all common to us, is Satan, the devil. He's our greatest enemy. You know, the devil's real. He's not just, you know, wears red underwear, you know, on Halloween, and he's got a fork and tail and a pitchfork, and, you know, somebody like Santa Claus or something like that, you know. He is real. Say, I'll never forget when I came to the realization of that. It just came really, really home to me. We were in a meeting down in Georgia a number of years ago, and I was preaching, and I was preaching against something that the devil didn't like, you know, that I was preaching against. You know, I'm sure it might have been rock music, it might have been, you know, booze, or, you know, it might have been something like that. And the devil didn't like it, and there was a young man sitting there, you know, and he was just skinny as a rail, and he started going like this, you know. And I thought, well, maybe he's had an upset stomach, you know, or something like that, or had a lot of garlic or something like I had tonight, you know. So if I come up with one of those, it's because I had a lot of garlic tonight, all right? But he just started roaring, and he just got louder and louder, louder and louder. Roar! You know, I mean, it was that way. My kids were all small, and my wife was sitting down there, and all of a sudden, I saw those kids just kind of going over, getting closer and closer to my wife. And, man, I didn't know what this guy was up to either, so I wasn't going to let him be louder than me, so I just turned it up a notch and started preaching louder, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, this guy was so ornery that he literally pulled the pew right up out of the floor. That pew was riveted down in the cement floor. Now, this guy was skinny and little. I mean, he stand sideways, stick out his tongue, look like a zipper. You know what I mean? He was just a little guy. He was a Charles Atlas before. You know, he's before. And he was just a little guy. Where did he get that strength? You know what? He got it from Satan. Satan was in that boy. We carried on that preaching service, and you know what? We had to get six of the biggest men in the church, and because he was just continually interrupting the whole thing. And so six of those biggest men in the church took him out. They bled the blood of Jesus Christ, and they had the joy of leading him to the Lord. And immediately, as soon as he got saved and covered his soul in the blood, I want to tell you something. He just calmed right down. Just calmed right down. Oh, I don't know. That was so impressive to me. I mean, Satan became someone that I just didn't know about because the Bible said I realized that he was real and that he was opposed to the gospel, and he was opposed to preaching, and he was opposed to the work of God, and he was going to do everything he could to stop it. And he's still doing that. Oh, I tell you something, the devil's real. Now, Michael here knows the devil's real. He's contending with him. You know, Michael contends with him. What's that mean? He just means that Michael lived and act like the devil's real. Say, he lived and act like the devil's real. He didn't in any way think that he had the strength to overcome Satan. Satan was stronger than him, and Michael is the strongest angel in God's arsenal of angels. And yet, Michael said, I don't dare to rail against him. He said, because he's so powerful. But he said, I know the one who is more powerful than the devil. Say. And he said, the Lord, there at the end of that verse, the Lord rebuked thee. Jesus is more powerful than the devil. Now tonight, what we need to do is start living and acting like the devil's real in 2011. Some of you have been living and acting like he's just a boogeyman, you know? I mean, he's just someone wears underwear, red underwear, and a fork and tail, and he's got pointed ears, and he's not real. Folks, we need to live and act like the devil is real in 2011. Now, let's see what we need to do if we're going to live and act like the devil's real in 2011. Number one, we need to know what he is doing, what he wants you to do, what he's out to get you to do, what he's out to get me to do. What is the devil out to get us to do? Well, the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 2 and verse number 15, here's what the devil is out to get us to do, folks. And it says there in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and chapter number 5 rather, and verse number 15, it says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So what is the devil out to get you to do? Turn aside. Turn aside. Just turn aside after Satan, after him. Say, turn aside after him. You know, that's what the devil wants you to do in 2011. Turn aside. Turn aside from reading your Bible. Turn aside from going to church regularly. Turn aside from prayer. Turn aside from a soul winning. Turn aside from family altar. Turn aside, Dad, from reading the Bible with your kids and having prayer together as a family. Turn aside from tithing. Turn aside, from serving the Lord. Turn aside from teaching that physical class. Turn aside from being willing to work in the nursery. Turn aside. Say, that's what he's out to get you to do, to turn aside. You know, when you look at the Bible, you find that the devil got to turn aside, unto him. I think of Demas. Demas was a man that was with the Apostle Paul and traveling and ministering. But you know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verse 10, that Demas hath forsaken me, Paul says, having loved this present world. See, the devil wants you to turn aside to the world. He wants you to turn aside to loving the world and wanting to be like the world. Has he succeeded? Has he succeeded? Is that what you're following after? The world? Are you following after Jesus? See, Demas stopped following after Jesus and he started following after the world. How about you? He's going to try to get you to turn aside in 2011. He's going to try to get you to turn aside from the Lord and start turning after the world. And how sad it is that Demas wasted his life. I mean, you never read anywhere where Demas was ever used of God. He's never mentioned again in the Bible. The world just swallowed him up. The world just sucked him up. And you know what? He's off the scene. And the devil wants to get you off the scene spiritually. He wants you to just go back in that world. Turn aside. He wants you to turn aside like he did Demas and to have a wasted life. Say, you know, the devil would like to have you turn aside and be killed. You know, but I'll tell you what, the devil, sometimes he can't do that, or he doesn't do that. He could do it, but he just turns you aside to have a wasted life. Okay. And that's what he did to Demas. Ananias and Sapphira, they turned aside and started lying. He turned aside to lying. There's nothing that opens the door to the devil more than lying. The devil wants you to start lying. And God, Ananias and Sapphira turned aside. The Bible says they were, killed by Satan. Instantly, suddenly, they were killed by Satan. Why? Because they turned aside to Satan. How'd they turn aside to Satan? Start lying. How do you turn aside to Satan? Just start lying. Start lying to your parents. Start lying to other people. You know, just start living a life that's a lie. You know? And I'll tell you something. You turn aside to Satan. Satan takes over. Satan takes over. He took over Demas. Wasted his life. Took over Ananias and Sapphira. Brought death. Premature death in Ananias and Sapphira. John the Mark, he turned aside. You know, he was ministering, the Bible says, and he was ministering. And, you know, when you're ministering, there's all kinds of things the devil wants to do. And that is to get you to turn aside from ministering. He wants you to get filled with, hurt. He wants you to get filled with rejection and disappointments. You know, when you're ministering, there is going to be misunderstandings. And when you're ministering, there's going to be rejection. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be disappointments. And John Mark said, I've had it up here. I don't want it. Disappointments anymore. And he turned aside. He turned aside and he quit ministering. But praise God. Old Satan didn't win the victory. You know why? Because John Mark turned back. John Mark turned back to serve the Lord, and God greatly used him to go on and write the book of Mark. Maybe you've turned aside in areas of your life in 2011. You know what? You've turned aside from ministry. I'll tell you what. You could be like John Mark and say, in 2010, you turned aside, but in 2011, I'm going to turn back, and I'm going to get back to ministering for my God. And you could go on to be used of God, even as John Mark was greatly used of God to write the Gospel of Mark, and marvelous things happened. All the devil's out to get you to turn aside. And he got Felix to turn aside. Probably one of the biggest areas the devil wants a person to turn aside is getting saved and receive the Lord. God's giving you an opportunity. Maybe you've had many opportunities. Felix had a great knowledge of getting saved. He had been witnessed to. And yet he turned aside from getting saved. He said, well, some other time, you know. Paul reasoned with Felix and of temperance and judgment and righteousness. And this man Felix was under conviction. But you know what he said? I'm going to wait some other time, some other day, some more convenient season. And you know what? The devil was successful to get Felix turned aside from getting saved. He had an opportunity. You have an opportunity tonight to come to Jesus Christ who died for you and receive your Savior. You know, will you be like Felix and turn aside? You know, the Bible says that Felix, he never, ever, ever got saved. And see, he was turned aside to Satan. Satan took him to hell. He went to hell with Satan. You going to go to hell with Satan? You know, turn aside from getting saved. You know, don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Oh, listen, there are so many ways that we can turn aside. You know, I look out across the country and I see so many Christians turning aside. Turning aside to social drinking, turning aside to movie going. Turning aside in their marriages, quitting on their husband, quitting on their wife. Christians even getting involved in divorce. Turning aside. You know, I never forget, I was in a town preaching the Word of God, and there was an older man. Well, I shouldn't say, right now he's pretty young. He was in his 40s. Back in that day, that was kind of old to me. But I remember him standing in the back row, you know, and I went up to talk to him. He was there every night, and I said, sir, sure, good to have you. I said, are you married? He looked at me, and I'll tell you what, he bowed his head, and I could tell I had asked a question that really struck a raw nerve. And I asked him that, and he said, well, I was. He said, my wife and I, we would serve God together. We would go out when we had the fair in our county, and we'd set up a gospel tent or a table with gospel tracts on it. And we'd stand out and we'd pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. And then he said, I don't know what happened. But my wife turned aside to another man. And you know what? He said, with a broken heart. And that marriage had come to a screeching halt. You know why? Because that wife turned aside. I don't know where she started turning aside. Maybe she just started turning aside, not reading her Bible daily. Maybe she just turned aside, you know, not praying. Maybe she turned aside from, a holy life, began to watch stuff on TV or watch some of those soapbox operas, and I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that lady turned aside, and how sad it is when Christians turn aside from their marriages and Christians turn aside from walking with God and living a holy life. Oh, the devil's out to get you to turn aside, folks. If you're going to live and act like the devil's real, you need to know what he's trying to get you to do. He's trying to get you to turn aside. Just give up. Just turn aside. Turn aside from praying for your kids to get right. You know, turn aside from praying for that wayward boy or that wayward girl. Turn aside. Just turn aside and figure, oh, God's not going to hear my prayer. Hey, I want to tell you something. God is in the prayer answering business. And he wants us to pray without ceasing. Has he gotten you to turn aside in some area of your life? Oh, I tell you what, pastors are turning aside. Immorality, compromise, contemporary Christianity has grown by leaps and bounds. Pastors are turning aside from the old ways, the old paths, and they're turning to contemporary ways and throw out the piano, throw out the organ, and let all the bars down and just preach a sermonette for Christianettes and just have all kinds of entertainment and just attract a crowd at any cost. Pastors are turning aside. Schools are turning aside from where they once stood. Once having standards of separation, now they're turning aside from that and letting the standards down. Who's behind that, folks? Satan's behind that. We need to realize that Satan is real and he's working hard. He's working overtime. Why? He knows his time is short. He's going to try to get you to turn aside. It's time to turn back, amen? Hey, it's a new year. Turn back. Turn back where you've turned aside, Dad. Turn back where you've turned aside, young person. Before Satan gets a hold of you and ruins your life. And maybe even shortens your life. You know, there was a man in the church of Corinth that turned aside to sex sins. And the Bible tells us that Paul said, listen, you deal with this situation or this man's going to be given over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I want to tell you something. There are so many today who are turning aside to immorality, turned aside to on TV. Listen, there are people who are saved who have secret sins of uncleanness in their life and secret things of turning aside for morality and godly living. And folks, it's time to turn back from the immorality that's got in your life and the uncleanness that's there and say, God, I want that cleansing. I don't want to be given over to Satan. He's trying to get you to turn aside. It's time to turn back. Young people are turning aside. One out of every 7 teenage girls tries to take their life in suicide. Young people are turning aside to immorality. You know, we have a 40% teenage pregnancy rate in this country, and that's with abortion. Young people are turning aside in the area of morals. Has he gotten you to turn aside? Well, he's out to get you to turn aside. If you're going to live and act like the devil's real and not act and live like he's a boogeyman and he's not real and he's just somebody who wears a red underwear and a fork and tail and a pitchfork. Listen, if you're going to live and act like the devil's real, you need to know that what he's trying to get you to do and what he's trying to get me to do is turn aside. Has he got you to turn aside in some area? You used to go door to door, knocking on doors. You used to come out for soul winning. You used to have that family altar. You used to tithe and give sacrificially. Has he gotten you to turn aside? Folks, if we're going to live and act like the devil's real, we need to be aware of what he's trying to get us to do, and we need to turn back where we have turned aside. Secondly, if you and I are going to live and act like the devil's real, we need to know some things about him. Now, what are some things that we need to know about the devil? All right, let's look at some things in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 28. The Bible tells us some things about the devil. Ezekiel chapter number 28. The Bible says there in the Old Testament that he's a powerful being. In Ezekiel 28 verse 1, Son of Man, say to the Prince of Tyrus. Now the Prince of Tyrus is a political leader. He's a leader of a nation. The Prince of Tyrus, alright? And so he's powerful. He can work in political ways. He can work in world leaders' lives. He loves to get into politics. He loves to get the control of world leaders. He's a powerful being. He can get control of world leaders. Now, I really believe we have a lot of world leaders that are demon-possessed. I mean, when you think of demon possessions, folk, just don't think of some guy just going berserk and walking down the street talking to himself and talking to the telephone pole and talking to, everybody that's not even there. Listen, I want to tell you something. Demon possession can be very well-dressed, very educated, very intellectual. Oh, we don't believe God. We don't believe the Bible. We believe in ourselves. And I'll tell you something, there are a lot of government leaders who are being possessed of the devil. And we need to realize that the devil's real. Hey, the Bible says also, knowledge is powerful, being here in Ezekiel 28, he's wise. How many times do you find the word wise in describing the devil here in Ezekiel 28? You find it in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 12. He's been around, that's what it means. It means that he is wise because he's thousands of years of experience. He's very wise. He's behind Adam and Eve's fall. He's behind David's sin. He's behind Hitler's actions. He's behind all the filth that's in this world tonight. Satan is behind it all. The Bible says he's a disciplined person. In verse number 15, he's disciplined. That thou, verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity is found in thee. He was whole. He was committed, is the idea here. He was committed in his ways. He's not a floater. He's not someone that is here and there and just floating through life. You know, Christians ought not to be floaters either. We ought to be living on purpose. We ought to get up every day and have the purpose in our life to live for Jesus Christ. Lived on purpose. And for me to live is Christ. His purpose to live for Christ. Say, is that your purpose? What's your purpose to live for? Is it for yourself? You know, is it for the world? Hey, listen, the purpose of Satan, his great purpose is to destroy. His purpose is to destroy your soul. He wants to have your soul in hell. He wants to destroy that soul. And he wants to get in the way of God's desire for you to be saved and go to heaven and not to go to hell. He wants to get in the way. He wants to block every way he can to keep you from getting saved. That's why it's so hard to get lost people to come to revival meetings. Devil doesn't want them to get saved. He wants them to just keep going down the path of sin so they get up in hell where he's going. See, he's got a purpose. He's got a purpose to destroy your soul. And you know what? If he can't destroy your soul and you get saved, he wants to destroy your life and the potential of your life. He wants to destroy your home from reaching your children for God, Dad and Mom. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy Camp Joy out there. He's out after doing that, say. He's real. He's disciplined his ways. But then we look in the New Testament, we find some other things about him. He's religious. Do you know if the devil was come, in this world with a body, he wouldn't be bar-bellied up to some bar room. He'd be in a church. He'd be in a church. He's a religious being. He has his preachers in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 13. The Bible says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, look at that, his ministers, he's got preachers. He's a religious being. He's behind humanism. He's behind atheism. He's behind Jehovah Witnessism. He's behind Mormonism and Shintoism and Buddhism and Mohammedanism. He's behind the false religions of this world. Why? Because, folks, he wants people to think it's a religion they need. No, my friend, it's not a religion you need. It's Jesus Christ that you need. It's a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save your soul, who shed his blood. But he wants you to be content. Well, I'm religious. You know, I've got a religion. I'm all set. No, my friend, religion doesn't make you set. If religion makes you set, then why did Jesus come to the world and die? There's all kinds of religion in this world. Why did he come and die? If it's religion makes you set. No, it's not religion that makes you set. It's Jesus Christ as your Savior that makes you set for eternity, say. So the devil's got all these tools. He uses religion. He uses booze. He uses sex. He uses, you know, all kinds of stuff out there to keep people from getting saved. So he's behind religion. He's the ruler of the darkness of this world, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. He's the ruler of the darkness world. You see, Satan's for darkness. He's the ruler of the darkness world. All the wickedness on television, all the darkness that's there. You know, it's been kind of amazing to me with this recent tragedy down in Arizona. They're talking about the guns and how terrible they are. And they're talking about how, violent language is, no doubt to spurn some of this happening down there, which I don't believe one bit. But, they're talking about that. But wait a minute. What about all the guns on television? What about all the violence that is on TV? You don't hear one word about that. Folks, Satan's behind this on TV. It's not Ozzy and Harriet anymore, folks. It's raw sex, nudity, and perversion. He's behind all that. He's the author of spiritual wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He is conspiring to make the world, ready for the Antichrist appearing. And he knows that if the world's going to be ready for the Antichrist appearing, he's got to destroy the last bastion to prevent that, the United States of America. And how is he destroying the United States of America? He's turning us to socialism. He's turning us, folks, away from the foundation of this nation, which was built upon Bible principles. And he's turning us away from revering Bible preachers and turning our back on the Word of God. Satan is real. These are some things you need to know about him. If you are going to live and act like the devil's real, if you're going to know that and live that way, you got to know some things about him. But he's a defeated fool. I love to preach this. Satan is defeated. You need to know that, folks. He's a defeated fool. I mean, it looks like he is really having a heyday, but he's defeated. Where was he defeated? He was defeated at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his precious blood. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, it says in chapter 2, verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh, thank God. Satan is defeated. Jesus did the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood. Satan thought when he had Jesus killed on that cross that, hey, I've defeated God's plan. But I'll tell you something, God's plan was not defeated. God's plan succeeded. Because now there's a way that we can have our sins washed away. Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't care how much sin you got in your life, my friend, tonight. There is a way that you can have all that sin washed away. And it's not through baptism. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. And he can defeat the penalty of sin in your life. Jesus can. He can defeat the power of sin in your life. Because he has defeated the devil himself at the cross of Calvary. I'm so glad he's a defeated foe. But you know something? That defeat is not here yet. He is going to be cast in that pit. The Bible says Revelation 20:10. He's going to be cast in that pit for all eternity, in that pit of hell. And you know what? When that day takes place, I'm going to walk up to the Lord, because I'm going to be there by the grace of God, because I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to conquer over Satan. And I'm going to walk up to the Lord, and I'm going to say, Lord, do you mind if I go over and jump up and down that lid a little bit? And he's not going to mind one bit, I believe. And I'm going to go over and I'm going to jump up and down that old pit and say, praise God, the devil's in the pit. Now, don't try that unless you're not eating McDonald's. Okay, if you're trying to do it that way, you eat a lot of McDonald's at 70 years old and stuff, you know, you may keel over a heart attack right there. I don't know. But folks, the devil is a defeated foe. He's in that pit, but he's not defeated yet. You see, he's still out to keep people from getting saved. He's still trying to get people not to come to Christ and receive him as Savior, because he wants people to go to hell with him. See, his philosophy is misery loves company. And he knows he's and he wants to take as many people to hell as he possibly can. He knows God wants to take as many people to heaven as he possibly can. And thank God he's provided a way whereby every man, woman, boy, and girl can go to heaven through the blood of Jesus. But you know, the devil's going to try to keep people from that and coming to Jesus, being saved. Will he keep you? Will he keep you from doing that? That's his goal today. That's what he's trying to do. Keep people from getting saved. But you know something else? He's out to do something else. He's trying to get people who are saved. He's trying to get a foothold in their life. He's trying to get a foothold in their life so that he can turn them aside. See, the reason why people turn aside is because they let Satan get a foothold. They let Satan get some prop in your life. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. What's it mean to give place to the devil? It simply means this, don't give room in your life. Don't give him some property in your life, see? Because where he is able to get people to turn aside to immorality and, even save people to turn aside the things of the world, to turn aside from living a godly, holy life. See, how? When we allow him a foothold. See, Satan wants to get a foothold in the life of the Christian, into your life. You know, here's a story. Supposing you have 50 acres. And you sell, right in the middle of those 50 acres, you sell, right in the middle of it, you sell 2 acres of that 50. And the folks you sell those 2 acres to, they come in there and they party and they just cause all kinds of havoc. See? Now, that's what Satan wants to do in your life, in this church. He wants to do this in your life as a church member, as a teenager, as a parent. He wants to get some property in your life. He wants to get a space in your life where he can build a fortress to be able to attack you and to shoot his fiery darts at you. See, the devil is out. Some of you are letting him do that. Because he's got some property in your life that you're letting him have. And you know what? That's how Satan destroys lives and gets people to turn aside. In World War II, the Japanese thought that one of the ways that they could defeat the invading armies, the American armies, who were coming on shore, the islands where they had captured, was to let those invading armies get on shore. Just let them come on. And then they would give a counterattack and they would, destroy the invading American armies. Well, folks, I'll tell you something. That was the wrong strategy. Because you don't give a foothold to the Marines. And they gave a foothold to the Marines, the American Marines. And I want to tell you something. That's all we needed to defeat the Japanese armies. Say. Now, Satan wants to get a foothold in your life. Listen, he'll turn you aside if he has a foothold. How does Satan get a foothold in your life? There are three areas where Satan gets a foothold in people's lives. First of all, through the matter of rebellion. When you have an area of rebellion in your life as a Christian, maybe something that's preached from the pulpit, maybe something's in the Word of God, and you rebel against it, you are allowing Satan to get a foothold. Maybe rebellion about joining the church. I'm just going to do it. Maybe rebellion about getting baptized after you get saved. Maybe rebellion about living a holy life. Maybe just rebellion. Well, I'm not going to read my Bible. Rebellion against these things that the Bible clearly teaches. See, that's all Satan needs is one area of rebellion in your life. Rebellion towards your husband, following his leadership, submission to him. Rebellion towards being, the Bible says, the leader of your home. Loving your wife with a Christ-like love. Self-sacrificing. Just rebel. Just Just one area. Satan gets that foothold. Another way Satan gets a foothold in people's lives who are saved is through regarding iniquity. In other words, covering it over. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So, regarding iniquity, letting sin get in your life. Maybe it's a secret sin. Letting it stay there. Some of the sins that can cause Satan to get a foothold are mentioned here in this passage of Scripture. Stealing, verse 28, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. Verse number 20, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Filthy language. By the way, language that doesn't edify and build up people is filthy language. I wonder, what does your words say about your relationship to the devil? Listen, the Bible says we need to get sin out of our life. If we're not going to allow Satan to turn us aside in 2011, we need to deal with the sin that is in our life that we're regarding, that we're not dealing with, we're not covering, getting it out of our life, we're not forsaking it. We need to deal with that sin. Otherwise, we're letting Satan get a piece of property whereby he can shoot his fiery darts of doubt, his fiery darts of temptation and lust, the fiery darts of divorce, the fiery darts of disobedience. That's what we're allowing Satan to do. When we allow one little area of rebellion, when we are regarding iniquity in our life, not dealing with it, not forsaking it, not confessing it, holding on to it, thinking nobody will know. I'll tell you what, Satan knows. And he takes advantage of it. And he's going to use it to turn you aside unless you quit regarding the iniquity that you are allowing to stay in your life. And you confess it and forsake it. Another way is through resistance to total surrender of our life to God. Well, Lord, I'll give you this in my life, but not this. Lord, I'll let you have this, but not this. You see, resisting total surrender is a way that Satan gets a foothold in our life by which he can turn us aside. The true story was told of a missionary one time. He was preaching on total surrender. He told of a man who had a house for sale where he was a missionary for $2,000. There was a man that wanted to buy it for $1,000. And the missionary said, no, $2,000. Oh, I only got $1,000. And then the missionary finally said, okay, I'll tell you what. If you'll agree to this stipulation, you can have it for $1,000. Let me have one nail in the house. Just one nail. And I'll sell it to you for $1,000, say. And so that missionary made that kind of a stipulation, and the man agreed to it. And so he bought it for $1,000, but the missionary had one nail in that house. Well, things went on, and the missionary came up to the man and said, you know what, I'd like to really buy that house back. Could I buy it back? No, it's my house. And you know what that missionary did? Not the missionary, I shouldn't say the missionary, but the man who bought the house. This guy wasn't a saved guy. Neither one of these guys were saved guys, okay? Not the missionary. He was not the guy that, made this offer. But he's just telling about these two men. And you know what that man did? To get that house back, the guy didn't want to sell it back, because he had one nail in that house, he went and he hung a carcass of a dead animal on that nail. And pretty soon the smell and the defilement of that dead carcass, finally the guy said, okay, you can have it. And he sold it to him. You know, some of you, the devil has a nail. You know why? Because there's a place you haven't really surrendered to him. There's something you haven't really surrendered to him. And he's got a nail where he can hang defiling things that will stink up your life and cause you to turn aside in 2011. Turn aside. Hey, folks, you know what? It's time to, as a child of God, it's time to let God kick the old devil off the footholds that you've given him in your life. You don't have the strength to do it. You've got to come and say, God, I want you to kick the devil off. that foothold I've allowed in my life, that area of rebellion. I want you to help me throw it out. God, that area of sin in my life, I want you to give me victory over it. Oh God, that area of my life where I've held back what ought to be yours, Lord, would you help me to surrender to you? Listen, there's a real devil. He's not a boogeyman. Are you going to live and act like he's real in 2011? Or are you going to keep on living like, well, you know, he's not real. He's kind of like Santa Claus, you know, and he's, you know, just got red underwear and all that kind of thing. Has a pitchfork. Shows up on Halloween once in a while, every year. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The devil is real. And he wants to turn you aside. Oh, we need to turn back. We need to know what the devil is trying to do. We need to know some things about it. He's going to be defeated. But in the meantime, he is working overtime to do two things. Number one, he's working overtime to get people not to get saved. And he's working overtime to get people who are saved to allow a foothold in their life for him to get a hold of, a place in their life, so that he can get them eventually to turn aside because of the foothold that they've allowed him to have in their life. One more thing. If you and I are going to live and act like the devil's real, not only do we need to know what he's trying to get us to do, turn aside, not only do we need to know some things about him from the Bible, but also we need to know what living and acting like the devil is real involves. What does it involve for you and me tonight, living and acting like the devil is real? Here's what it involves, folks. Number one, notice with me what it does not involved. What it involves that, however, I want to say what you must not be. You say, what it involves in the area of what you must not be in 2011. What you must not be. Number one, you must not be a procrastinator about getting saved. Don't put it off. You need to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. You know, one time the legend says the devil and his angels got together and they were talking about how can they keep people from going to heaven and ended up in hell. And one angel said, we'll go up there, we'll just whisper in their ear when they're hearing the Bible preaching about receiving Christ as Savior. We'll say, oh, listen, the Bible's not true. And the old devil slapped that demon in the face and said, oh, listen, anybody with any sense knows the Bible is true. Anybody would study the scripture and think about the fact that it's been written over a period of 1600 years and all of the writers agree with one another. No, that won't work. And then another demon stood up and he said, I know what we'll do when people are hearing about getting saved and we won't go up and tell them that the Bible's not true. We'll just go up and whisper there and say, Jesus is not God. He's just a man. And the old devil slapped that demon in the face. He said, listen, anybody with any sense knows that Jesus is God. All the miracles he did, all the fulfilled prophecies, hundreds and hundreds of years before he was born, all of them were literally fulfilled. Anybody with any sense knows that Jesus is not just a man. He's God in flesh. That won't work. That third demon, he doesn't want to get slapped in the face like the other two. And so he's thinking and thinking. He says, I got it. I know what we do when people are hearing about getting saved. We'll not go up there and whisper their ear that Bible's not true. We'll not go up there and whisper their ear Jesus is just a man. We'll go up there and say, as they're hearing about getting saved and receiving Christ and how they can go to heaven and have all their sins washed away if they do, we'll just go up there and say, some other time, some other day, not now. And the devil jumped up and down with glee. And he said, that's it. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest tools that the devil uses to keep people out of heaven and will take them to hell forever is the tool of procrastination. Some other time, some other day. Listen, God says today's the day. Now's the time. He has brought you here. He's kept you alive to this very point. For what reason? That you might have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, listen, what does living and acting like the devil is real involve? Well, it involves what you must not be. You must not be a procrastinator. I'll tell you something else it involves. It involves you must not be a backslidden parent. Dad, listen, you're not going to reach your children backsliding. They're not going to be reached. The devil's going to get them. One time I was talking to a preacher friend of mine, and he said, you know, I had to live for God. I said, no, you didn't have to live for God. He said, you don't understand. I had to live for God. I said, well, listen, you got a free will. You could have chosen to go out and live for the devil if you want to. He said, no. He said, I had to live for God. And he said, here's why. He said, my mom and dad would get around and we would pray together as a family every day. We'd pray together. And one of the prayers that my dad would pray and my mom and dad would pray, and they'd get answers to prayer. I mean, I learned that God was real because my mom and dad got some answers to prayer. By the way, that's one of the great blessings, mom and dad, to praying together. Your kids can say that God's a real God. He answers prayer. Can see prayers that have been answered as you prayed together as a family. Well, he said, my mom and dad got answers to prayer. And one of the prayers that my mom, or rather my dad would pray regularly, probably his mom did too, was this. Oh God, we didn't bring our son into the world to serve the devil. We brought him to the world to know you as his Savior and to serve you. But Lord, if he's not going to serve you, if he's not going to get saved, listen, kill him. Kill him. He said, you know what? I had to live for God because I saw my mom and dad get answers to prayer. I knew I was a dead man if I didn't live for God. Right? I knew I was a dead man. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. Mom and dad, I'm not saying that's what you need to start praying. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, that mom and dad weren't backslidden to be praying a prayer like that. They weren't backslidden. They knew that their prayer and their heart's desire for their children would be powerful in the lives of their children as they would pray with their children around the table together and pray sincerely, oh God, and have their kids hear them pray with a heart that is burdened. Oh God, help our children to live for you and not for the devil. That's what involves waking up and starting and living and acting like the devil's real in 2011. What does it involve? Well, we've seen what you must not be, you know, if you're going to live and act like the devil's real. But now notice what it involves, what you must do. What you must do if you're going to live and act like the devil's real in 2011. First of all, you must stop letting him have a foothold in your life. You must stop that. You've got to come and say, Lord, I want you to kick the devil out of this foothold I've allowed in my life. I'm turning from this rebellion in this area of my life. Lord, I'm going to confess the sin that I've been covering over. Lord, there are areas of my life where I've held back from letting you have total control. Lord, I'm letting you move in and take control of my life. Listen, folks, that's what you must do if you're going to live and act like the devil's real. Stop letting the devil have that foothold. You don't have the power to kick him off, but I'll tell you, you come to the Lord and you get rid of that rebellion. You come to the Lord and you confess the iniquity you're regarding. You come to the Lord and you totally surrender. I'll tell you what, the devil is going to run off that property because God is going to come after him and drive him right off it. Would you do that? But the last thing you need to do to live and act like the devil's real, you need to apply the blood of Christ to your soul. You need to come and say, Lord, I want your blood over my soul. You see, there's a great battle going on in this world. It's an invisible battle. But it's the greatest battle going on. It's greater the battle over in Iraq, greater the battle in Afghanistan. That battle is between the forces of God, the forces of the devil. And you know who it's over? You. Over your soul. Who's going to have your soul? Who are you going to let have your soul? You have a choice. You know, either the devil's going to have your soul and take it to hell, or God's going to have your soul and take it to heaven. In Luke chapter number 16, the Bible tells you the two men, they died, and one of them knew Christ as Savior. One had received the Lord Jesus as Savior, and he was ushered right in the very presence of God. The other man did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, had not applied the blood of Christ to his soul by receiving Christ as Savior. And the Bible says the devil came and took his soul right into hell. My friend, that's exactly what will happen when a person dies They either go immediately into heaven or immediately into hellfire. There's no purgatory in the Bible. The moment a person dies without Jesus Christ, they're in fires of hell. Luke 16, that man died without the Lord Jesus as Savior, and he was immediately in the fires of eternal hell. Who is going to get your soul, God or the devil? It all depends on whether or not you've received the Lord as your Savior. Because when you receive the Lord Jesus, you are applying the blood of Christ to your soul. And in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11, the Bible says they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. See, when you have the blood of the Lamb on your soul, the devil's a wimp. He can't come and take your soul to hell. But when you don't have that blood, my friend, the devil has the power to take your soul right into hell for all eternity. Would you apply that blood of Christ to your heart and life tonight? Would you receive the Lord Jesus who died on that cross for you tonight to be your Savior? And if you'll make that choice, I want to tell you something, my friend. Your heaven is forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And you're going to be with Him and the devil will never touch your soul. If you don't do that, one day when you die, who knows when it will be, the devil will take that soul right into hell. I was in West Virginia a number of years preaching the Word of God, a number of years ago, and I was preaching. And I remember as we got up to preach, all of a sudden, the doors of the church opened. There were two young men that slipped in, two teenagers. Slipped in, sat in the back. Well, I thought, well, you know, they're probably kids that maybe didn't want to come to church. Maybe their mom and dad in church, you know, and maybe they didn't want to come to church. So they waited the last moment. They just kind of slipped in and sat in the back. But, you know, those two teenage boys, as I was preaching, you know, I could see that they were just alert. I mean, they were hanging on every word I said. And I thought, boy, this is not two boys that didn't want to come to church. I mean, they're listening, they're hanging on every word, and I'm preaching the Bible, I'm preaching how to be saved, it's through Jesus, and been born again, and washed in the blood, and accepting Christ, and I went through the message, gave the invitation, and immediately those two boys slipped out down the aisle. And the pastor had someone take them to a quiet room and show them right from the Bible how they could be saved and know they're going to heaven, not to hell. Afterwards, I found out, what caused those two boys to slip out so quickly? You see, those two boys had never been to that church before. And those two boys thought that the devil's not real, you know, and they had no idea that, you know, devil was real and the devil was after them. And, you know, they had gotten into a game called a Ouija board. And they had gotten that Ouija board, and you know, I don't know a whole lot about Ouija boards, but I do know that, you know, the letters can move around, and it's a satanic type of game, and as they were playing around with that Ouija board, the message that came out, that was spelled out on the board was this message: I want you. And all of a sudden, those boys realized that Satan was real and that he was after them. And they were scared. And they said, we got to go to church somewhere. Well, I'm so glad that God was at work and those two boys picked that Bible-believing church. And they came in the midst of a revival meeting. And those two boys came down the aisle. And the thing that they said to the pastor is this: we don't want the devil to have us. He's after us. We don't want the devil to have us. And thank God those two boys did what will keep the devil from ever having somebody's soul forever in hell. They put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were gloriously saved. Oh, my friend, listen. Will you start living and acting like the devil's real? The biggest choice you could ever make to start you on the path of living and acting like the devil's real is to come and receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. Let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you the Bible takes the cover off and lets us see what is that which we cannot see with our naked eye. And that is, it reveals to us the invisible battle between God and the devil for the souls of men. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help people to start living and acting like the devil's real. Oh, Lord, that you would help Christians to start living and acting like that is true. Father, we quit playing games and we realize that the devil is trying to get us to turn aside. And Lord, I pray that there are Christians here tonight who need to turn back. And there are Christians here who need to deal with that which is going to cause them to turn aside down the road. That rebellion, that iniquity they're regarding and covering over, that lack of total surrender in some area of their life to you. Lord, I pray you'll help them to deal with that before they turn aside. And Father, I pray especially for anybody in our midst who is not saved. I pray that tonight you'd help them to get saved. I pray for backslidden fathers and moms that they'd deal with that backslide and come back to the place where God can use them to keep the devil from getting their children. Oh, the devil's after our children. And Lord, we can't afford to be backslidden as mom and dad. We need to be right with you, walking in fellowship. Nothing between our soul and the Savior. Lord, would you please work? Would you please touch hearts and lives? And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around with their heads bowed, their eyes closed. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many can say this, preacher? I know for sure from the Bible that if I was to die right tonight, I know for sure Satan wouldn't get my soul. I know for sure my soul will be carried into the very presence of Jesus in heaven. I know that. I can give you a Bible reason why I know that. If you can say that honestly and truthfully, you say, preacher, I can't. Would you please lift that hand high and hold it there for just a minute? Yes, preacher, I do know that for sure. Be honest about it. Please don't lie. If you don't know that from the Bible, please don't raise your hand. But if you do know from the Bible that if you were to die, Satan wouldn't get your soul would be ushered right in the presence of heaven. You say, preacher, I know that for sure. Lift that hand high and hold it there. But be honest. Don't lie, please. All right, thank you very much. You need to put your hands down. Is there someone here tonight? Say, preacher, I could not raise my hand a moment ago. I don't know that for sure. But I know one thing. I don't want the devil to have my soul. I want to go to heaven and to know for sure I will be in heaven for all eternity. I'd like to know that tonight. Then, dear friend, you've come to the right place because we love to have someone take the Bible, right from the Bible, show you how you can know that for sure tonight as you leave this building. Say, preacher, I'd like to know that. I really would. If that's you, would you slip that hand right up high and hold there? Say, preacher, remember me? I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven and not to hell. When I die, here's my hand. Pray for me. Would you lift that hand any place, anywhere? Just lift it right up. Say, preacher, remember me in the prayer? Here's my hand. Would you lift that hand tonight? Just lift it up. Take her back down. Any place, anywhere. All right. I want to ask this as well, Christians. Those of you who are saved, I wonder how many say, preacher, there are some areas in my life I need to turn back. There are some areas I need to turn back in my life. Preacher, I've turned aside in some areas I need to turn back. If that's you, would you lift that hand for prayer tonight? Just lift it up. Preacher, there's some areas I've turned back. I need to turn aside. I need to turn back. Here's my hand. Would you lift it tonight? Amen. All the building. All of the building. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. You put that hand down. I trust you'll make that decision to turn back tonight. I wonder how many would say, preacher, in my life tonight, the Lord has shown me some footholds that Satan has in my life. Maybe it's an area of rebellion. Maybe it's some sin you've been regarding and covering over. Maybe it's some area of lack of total surrender in your life. You say, preacher, tonight I want the Lord to kick the devil off that foothold, and I'm going to deal with my rebellion. I'm going to deal with that iniquity that I've been regarding. I'm going to deal with that area where I'm not letting God have control. Maybe music, maybe friends. I don't know what it is, but you say, preacher, there's some areas of my life that I've not been letting the Lord have control, and I want to deal with that tonight so that God can kick the devil off that property he has in my life and not be able to turn me aside. If that's you tonight, would you lift that hand for prayer right tonight? Just lift up high. Amen. Amen. All the building. God bless. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, pray for me, preacher. There's some footholds I've been allowing Satan to have. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to deal with the rebellion. I'm going to deal with the lack of surrender of my life in the area. I'm going to deal with that iniquity I've been regarding. Pray for me, preacher. Would you lift that hand quickly? Just lift it up. Anybody else? Amen. God bless you. Amen. All right, let's stand, please. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed, please. No one's looking around. We're going to sing this great song, Invitation. And you know, if you raise a hand tonight and you say, preacher, there's some areas I need to turn back. I've turned aside. I need to turn back, preacher. Would you come and get down on your knees and with a heart that is really sold out, say, Lord, I'm turning back. I'm turning back in this area. Maybe there's some footholds you need to deal with tonight that Satan has your life. You slip out and come. There are hands on that as well. So I trust you'll come as we sing this great song. And, oh, dear friend, if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, He died for you. He loves you. He doesn't want you in hell with the devil. He wants you in heaven with Him for all eternity. But you know what? The ball's in your court. He made the way possible for you to go to heaven, but you've got to receive Him. You've got to come to Him and say, Lord, I want You to be my Savior from hell and to give me heaven. Would you do it tonight? Would you do it tonight? As we sing this great song of invitation, number 248 in your hymn book, as we sing this great song of invitation, will you respond in what God is doing with your heart about tonight on number 248 together?